Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 is where we left off. We have been learning about Paul as an apostle. He's given an example to the believers at Corinth how to exercise their liberty and their freedom in Christ. And not so much as for their own benefit, but for the benefit of the others. And who better than to use as an example than him and his co-laborers? And we found out last week, he said in verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. You notice he everything he does, he has the gospel in mind. And he didn't take money from them. He didn't use his power, his right as an apostle to his advantage, lest they should stumble with the gospel. Okay. He says in verse 13, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. We know that. We see it abused in our day. They don't just live of the gospel, they live sumptuously of the gospel, lavishly of the gospel, avariciously of the gospel. It's excessive. You know, I think I remember mentioning this before. It's a song. It's old. It's an old song. I haven't heard it in a long time, where the guy was saying, would Jesus wear a Rolex on his television show? Would he drive a great big car where he wear some fancy clothes? Would Jesus wear a Rolex on his television show? Would he?
No.
I don't think he would have a television show.
No.
But that's you know, one of those things where you see that it has gotten so excessive where ministers of the gospel can do more to hurt the gospel with the thing that they allow. With their and their good becomes evil spoken of because of their excess. But Paul says in verse 14, he says 14, he says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. That's God's ordained. God has ordained that. That's his structure. That's God's order. That they which preach the gospel should
live
of the gospel.
That's, well, that makes sense, you know, kind of frees you up to spend more time in the Word, being with the Lord more. And, you know, you're working on a regular job and you're there all the time and whatever. Then you got this little time to spend with the Lord. But, you know, you got more time to be with the Lord. Nothing could be more effective that way.
Amen, brother. And nobody knows how hard it is to do both unless they do both. Am I right? It's to leave a work, to leave to work hours a day and then have to go minister. It demands a lot.
Yeah.
And not only that, is to have work at home that interferes with your study. It takes a lot. It demands a lot. And there's a passage in Proverbs that much study is weariness to the flesh. If you just did this alone, that's still a lot. It demands a lot. So anytime you split those efforts up, You got to suffer. The ministry will suffer. I don't care how you can't devote that time and be as effective because you're splitting the time up. I just thought about this song. It's trying to love the two sure ain't easy to do. That's a secular song, but when you're split between two different opinions, it's hard. And that's why the Lord says, if you preach the gospel, you live of the gospel. But you know what Paul said? I can't do that. Number one, you'll say, I'm abusing you. I'm doing it for the money, like the rest of these guys. Number two, I have to work to supply my needs and those with me. So you won't say he's doing it for the money. And I can do it for the money. But I won't do it because it'll hinder the gospel. You ever heard preachers say that?
No.
He says, look, he says, I say this. Paul didn't say, I say this. He said, the Lord has ordained, the Lord put this in place. You know, last week we looked at the concept. He says, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. And we know that the ox, if you're a farmer, the ox works for you. He gets nothing out of the deal. Why would you muzzle his strength as he goes along and allow him to pull a stalk or two to fuel him, to keep him going? He's helping you. That's why he says, does God care for oxen? Is he caught up with oxen? Does he love the oxen? Or does he say it for us? He says, no doubt, for our sakes is it written. And we take it and we run with it, don't we? He says, verse 15, but I have used none of these things. My power, my right, my freedom, right? My liberty. I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void.
If only the pastors today had any inkling of that attitude, you know.
And you know, I'll say this to the guys, because the guys are deacons and pastors, and I tell them on Thursday is you can't give what you don't have. Right. And you can't preach what you don't practice. Right. You can't preach grace if you don't have grace. You can't preach freedom if you're not free. Paul, you know what Paul says here? He said, I have used none of these things, and I'm not saying this that you should take care of me. I'm not saying that to guilt you into taking care of me. He says, it would be better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Wait a minute. What do you mean, Paul? You're glorying. What are you glorying about?
About the Lord.
There he is. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Well, he just contradicted himself, didn't he? He says, no man will stop me from glorying. And yet he says, I have nothing to glory of. That's right. He says, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, I don't know why it keeps in my mind, is I always contrast with what's going on today. where the ministry is a glorious position. The people are glorified. The ministers are glorified today.
Right.
You know, you can turn it on, and that's what they did in Corinth. There were ministers in Corinth, false apostles, that they glorified. They gloried in their flesh. You know, I know they had a nice robe on. Had to. In Corinth, they probably went into the market and said, "Give me the best robe you got." Matter of fact, I need it tailored. I need it custom made. Finest material. You don't think that happened?
Sure.
You know it happened because it happens today.
Yeah.
Right. Or you get the guy, he comes in there and he's got
clean.
He's got everything. He's got his rings, he's got his chain, he's got his $1,200 suit, his Rolex,
his attitude,
his all that. And you know what? Anyway, we don't get to that monkey shine. Let's go ahead. But Paul says, "I have nothing to glory of in himself." Right. His glory, he says this. "I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me." He didn't look at that position as his ministry as something to be glory in. He says, "I have to do this." It's not a question of. You remember in Acts when he was stoned in Lystra? You remember that? And when they raised him up and he kept going through his ministry, and the second go around, you know what he said? "Let's go back." "Let's go back and see how they do."
They didn't understand.
What? And that's when John Mark said, "Go back."
Right.
I'm going back, all right.
Jerusalem.
But that's the man he didn't think of himself. If he was thinking of himself, he said, "There's no way I'm going to Lystra. They don't like me there." "I'll go to Ephesus, or I'll go to Philippi. I'll go to Thessalonica. I know they like me there." He didn't do that. He went right back to where they didn't want him. You know why? "Necessity is laid upon me." That's right. He said, look at Romans. I'm going to show you. Look at Romans chapter 15. Yeah, that reminds me of when the Lord sent Jeremiah to preach, and he said, "Son of man," that's Ezekiel. He said to Jeremiah, he said, "Don't look at their faces, lest you be dismayed." Because he knew what he was going to say, they didn't want to hear. You get those looks. Look, I told you about the one time we were in the class, and we were talking about baptism, and the guy, I was sitting where Blake is, and he was sitting across from the table, and we were going through this, and I could see it. I could see it mounting up in him. And then he was saying, "Well, you got to do this." I said, "Well, now you're just withstanding the truth now. So you're looking right at it." And he moved his chair back. He got up. He said, "Tell you what, brother, I don't want to be anywhere where I'm withstanding the truth." He closed his Bible up, got up, and left. "You gentlemen have a good day."
Wow.
Right.
And, oh, you know what? I was shaking in that chair because I thought he was getting ready to punch me. But you know what? I was, like Paul said, I was with you in fear and trembling. But I did not back down for the gospel's sake.
Right.
If I had to take a blow for that, I would do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing compared to what Paul went through.
Right.
And it's such a small matter.
Mm-hmm.
He said, look at...
To us.
To us.
It's
15. Romans 15, verse 14. Start at 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory, what?
Through
Jesus Christ in what? Myself. In those things that what?
Pertain
to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which I have not done.
Christ.
Which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He says, when I glory, it's going to be about what he's done through me. And about the gospel, it won't be me. We saved 5,000 at Corinth. 3,000 at Corinth. You know what he said? He, when they talked about, oh, I'm a Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ, he said, I thank God. He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. Besides that, I know not of any other. He said, lest you should say, what? That I baptized in my own authority, for my own purposes, so you can identify with me. You won't go around Corinth saying, Paul baptized me. I'm about baptized by Paul. Like that's some great status. He said, you won't get that. I'm glad I didn't do it. And you see there, I would not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. He said, and back to Corinth. Verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And he didn't focus on himself. When he wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 1, he said, not many wise, not many noble, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He chosen the base things.
Things that are not right.
He didn't pick the most popular most flashy, most attractive person, most knowledgeable, because you know what they would say? It's, and that's what they did. The Corinthians, they got in enthralled with the personalities. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and Him crucified. Because it was that glory. They gloried in appearances. They gloried in wisdom. They gloried in the words that they were using, the philosophy of that day. The Corinthians, we're Corinthians. We're the Corinthian society too. You ever been to, you know, if you ever go to a conference, any conference, Grace Conference, you see it. You see that glory. Some of that you see it ooze up a little bit. You do. You have to really. If anybody has ever taught, or even talked to a person, you have to always watch that. Because it's natural for you to like you.
You know, that shows Paul's wisdom, because as you said on Sunday very succinctly, that, you know, he talks about save Christ and Him crucified. If they have to believe that first, for they have the spiritual enabling to even understand anything else. And if his objective is to open, you know, the gospel to people, he's got to stick with the most basic things and not get sidetracked. And he understands that.
Right. You know, it's the thing that we, probably the thing that we talk about the less, is the thing that we should talk about the most, is his accomplishments. And what that does, what the grace of God, what the gospel of grace does, it gets rid of you.
Right.
That's why people don't like it. Because you tell a man, you don't have to do anything. You can't, matter of fact, you can't do anything to please God. What? You mean my church going? My
Who are you to say?
My this, my that. This is nothing for salvation? No. You get saved by grace through faith. Plus nothing. You won't get to God and say, He died, He was buried, He resurrected, and then add your part on.
Bad
chance.
Not like this publican over here.
Was that not Cain's situation? He said, this is what I want. In process of time, Adam and Eve taught them that God required a blood sacrifice. Abel, being a shepherd, is available right there. I'm not Cain, but I can think. I can use my imagination. Here's Cain. He sees Abel. He's keeping his sheep. He's tending his sheep. And here I am. I'm the tiller of the ground, and I look, and he says, blood sacrifice. Well, that's his job. He keeps the sheep. I'm not going to him. I need something of my own. I need something that demonstrates me and my efforts. So he whips it all up, puts it in the basket, puts it up there. God answers his by fire. His just sits there. And it sits there. And he gets mad. Who's he mad at?
God.
Why? He's, if thou doest well,
wouldn't you be accepted?
Yeah, well, as in, if you do what I say.
If you do, obedience
yes.
is better than sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And obedience, in this case, is bringing the prescribed offering. And he says, isn't that like you go through all the ages, and just like Abraham, he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. How could he do that? What's that?
Rationalizing.
He says, hey, I got a son. Yeah. Isn't that what you said? My loins, that's him. Wrong wife, wrong woman, not me. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. But he says, he had nothing to glory of. Our focus and Paul's focus is to get the Corinthians to embrace the gospel, not him, the gospel. And if they embrace the gospel, guess what they would do? They would embrace him. If they embraced the grace of God, then they would display the grace of God. When he told them in Corinth, he would say, as you abound in all these gifts, he says, I pray that you would abound in this gift also. Giving. Not just to me, but there's other poor saints in Jerusalem that need your help. You can't give
what you don't have.
They did not know the grace of God in truth. It was all about them. By me visiting, I visit a lot of places, and you know what I see all the time? People. When I say people, I see the pride. I see the lack of grace. And we've all been there. And we all could be there. But when I see that, it magnifies to me the grace of God. Because all you have to do is see that you can see the contrast. That's why Paul draws the contrast to the Corinthians. He says, you suffer this if a man smite you, if he take of you, if he abuse you. He said, you will tolerate that. But here I am. I'm giving everything to you, and you don't want me. I'm giving to you. Not taking from you. I'm giving to you, and you don't want me. They take from you, and you love it. You love them. So what's wrong with that picture? He says, verse 16, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. And that's what, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. When Paul got saved on the Damascus Road, he said, what? Lord, what would you have me to do? That's willingly, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says, keep going. I will show you how great things you must suffer for my name's sake. You know what? This is the fine line that we forget. Is salvation is willingly. You don't get saved against your will. When he said, what will you have me to do? He's volunteering himself. And by it being it's not a salvation like we get today. He's a pattern. He gets saved by grace. And this thing is unfolding in front of us. But he's got an encounter. He's got a salvation encounter on Damascus Road. After that is what? Well, his service. His service comes up. He says, what would you have me to do? And that's where he says, nah, I got a ministry for you. I'm committing to you this dispensation for you to dispense the gospel, the grace of God. You notice everywhere he goes, when he rehearses this, and he's in Ephesians, and when he's going to Ephesus, he says, don't go. Don't go up there. They'll kill you. You know what he said? He said, look, Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. He says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's the same thing as a dispensation is committed unto me. After what Paul experienced, knowing he was going against the God of glory, and he gets saved, and God gives him that commission. And he says, Paul, I'm giving this to you to fulfill the word of God. Wow, that's right. How can you go home and sit down? Yeah. And he says, I'm giving this to you to share the dispensation of the grace of God. In Ephesians, he said, to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery. And think about this. Don't you love it? Don't you love it when you see what God has done for you? And you keep learning what God has done for you? How he accepts you unconditionally? How he has seated you in heavenly places in spite of you. He's forgiven you all sin. He's indwelt you with the Holy Spirit. Don't you love that? Don't you love the riches that you enjoy in Christ, that you're complete in him? You've been justified, sanctified, sealed. Don't you love that? Don't you think it's other believers out there who want to hear this?
Yes.
Do you feel a necessity is laid upon you?
Tell them about it.
Where, you know what? You see them waffling like fish out of water. They have no idea what they have in Christ. And you walk around thinking, they don't know what they have in Christ. Too bad for them. Such a shame. It is. They should be like me. They should know. But all, you know what? It takes one guy to sit down and says, let me ask you something. You got saved? What'd you get? I never thought of that. Well, let me show you. And you show him a couple, right, you know what? And you can say, yeah, what else? Or, let me show you about one that you probably didn't know you got. And then he sees that and he says, wow! That's the grace of God. And when Paul is going to Corinth, that's why he says, I don't want to talk about anything but Christ and him crucified. And yet he could have taken them a little higher about the accomplishments of Christ. But he's got to form grace in them.
He's got to lay the foundation.
Let me tell you something. I was talking to a lady the other day, and she said some things that are not really important. She said, "Wow." She said, "You've been doing that for a long time." I said, "Yeah." I said, "But I didn't learn about grace until, I say, 10 years ago." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I knew the grace message 10 years ago, but I didn't know about grace until 10 years ago." You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I knew the grace message I've been knowing the grace message over 20 something years, but I didn't know grace until 10 years ago. That is this. I didn't know not to put you on a performance 10 years ago to meet my approval, yeah, or you or whomever. I didn't know to show you what you have in Christ above showing you what you don't know about Christ. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I didn't love the brethren 10 years ago. I loved them, but I didn't love them. I loved them. I loved to meet with them. I loved to talk to them. But I didn't love them in the sense of whatever he needs to grow up in Christ, I got to do that. In spite of me. That's what Paul said this. He says, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, Corinthians. Though the more
I love you, the less you love me."
That's grace. You can't give what you don't have. So you can quote the verses. But if they're not working effectually in you,
It's just verses.
It's you know what? That's what Paul said. Didn't he say that? You know what? It makes no difference. It's worth nothing to you. And Paul, when he said this, "What is in verse 18? What is my reward then? What do I get out of this? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." That's grace. He says, "What I want to do is preach this with no obstacles from you. I don't want to abuse my power in the gospel." Remember when Abraham rescued Lot back in Genesis? When he went in and he got his Lot out, he got all his goods, he got everything, he got the men, he recovered it all. And then the king of Sodom came out and he says, "Let me give you something." You know what Abraham said? "Oh, come on, by all means. Give it to me." You know what he said? He said, "I won't take a shoe latchet from you. I won't even take your shoestring, lest you should say that I made Abram rich." He said, "You know what? You know what he went in there? You know what he went in there on? Abraham. You know what Abram, when he went to get Lot, you know what he went in on?
On the Lord.
He went in on the Lord. He said, Lord, we going in. We got to get my brother. And he went in. He had men in his house. He said his trained servants in his house. He went in. That's God's man. And when he came out what? He went in, God's man. He came out, God's man. He went in dependent. He came out dependent. So when he said, I don't want nothing from you. You know what Paul said? He says, when I preach this gospel, I don't want nothing from you. Unless you say, I made him who he is today. If it wasn't for me, Paul said, you won't stop my boasting. You won't. If it wasn't for the Corinthians, no. He said, I'm banking on the Lord. He said, and I won't take anything, and I won't abuse my power in the gospel, and if it'll stop me from boasting in the Lord. He said, I'm going in. He says, I'm depending on God and God alone. If that means I got to make a tent, I'll make a tent. If that means I got to go without, he says, I'll go without. He said, and I have made, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. That's grace. Do you know you're free? Do you know you're free in Christ? When I say you know you're free in Christ, is you don't have to come here. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to witness. You don't have to read. You don't have to pray.
You don't have to attend church. You just have to attend to the reading.
You don't have to do that. When God saves you, that's what freedom, that's how free you are.
It's done. Complete.
He says, right. You know what? He said, loose that man and let him go. If you've been loose from sin, loose that man and let him go. Now, out of gratitude, you come back. Mm-hmm. You remember the ten leper, the story of the ten lepers? He says, out of those ten lepers, they all went their way. He said, only one turned back and did what? Glorified God for what he had done. Only one. They all got healed. Didn't they? He healed that man. He healed that man. He says, go home. Don't tell anybody anything. Go home. That man, he said, he turned around and he began to blaze it abroad. He couldn't hold it in. He was grateful. Paul said, I got the message. He said, it was committed unto me. Woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel. Did you think about, here's a man who, you talking about first hand grace? What verse we ask? We'll pick up at verse.
We'll start at 19.
19, yeah, we'll pick up at 19. But you talk about a man who had first hand experience of the grace of God. He did have that. And to see how he labored, the grace of God was always in front of him, with him, in the forefront. And now he, when he said, if one died for all, then we're all dead, he believed that. If Christ died for you, do you know that you are dead?
He gave it all up.
And he says, he said that we, henceforth, the lives that we now live, we should not live unto ourselves, but unto him that died and rose again. We don't experience the grace of God like Paul did.
Because we don't die like he did.
But he's trying to get you to do? Well, that too. But
humble yourself.
Mm-hmm. That too. Mm-hmm. Well, that too. Yield. Humble yourself. Minister. Yes. It's something that, you know what? He's trying to get you to die. You already, positionally, he said, you died. I'm crucified.
With Christ.
Nevertheless.
I live, but not I.
Now, don't quote the second half of it. Because the second half is, you know what? That's what he wants you to experience. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Mm-hmm. See, he says, come on over to the other half of that verse. Because we'll say that, you know what? I'm crucified with Christ. Yes. Peace. Nevertheless, I live. Yes. And the life I now live, uh-oh. What do I do with that life that I now live? I live for Jenny. You can't, you know what? We all have that struggle.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting there Saturday, Sunday, and I'm thinking.
This is with the outlaws, right?
Just thinking they're believers. The legal part of me said, how could you all sit here? You came down here on his grace. You're going back on his grace. You doing this foolishness on his grace. What are you thinking about? How is this redeeming the time? That's what the legal part of me said.
Yeah.
But the grace part of me said, you sitting here too. Who are you? Why don't you say something in love? Why don't you bring up something edifying? So I had to drop my rock. And it happens, you know what? Over situation by situation, you're confronted, and all you can do is thank God for his grace. Because you're no different. You know better. And any moment, it's your turn. If you don't yield. Right? So we'll pick it up verse 19 next week and try to finish the chapter out.